And if we know that He did it, how do we know? Because in the book of Revelations, when God shut up Satan and all his cohorts, there was no more evil in the world. I mean, evil could not exist. So we know the tremendous influence he is. And Satan can cause natural disasters to a certain extent. You can read about it in the book of Job, chapter 1, chapter 2. You remember when Satan left the presence of God, that one we'll cover later, the why and the how. But let's talk about the what now. When he left the presence of God, and he was going to come after Job, and you know, Satan didn't appear to Job and say, "I am Satan, I came to cause you trouble." No. The book of Job says, lightning from heaven, fire from heaven came and consumed this, consumed that. The Sabians came and attacked all his things. If you look at Job, everything looks like a natural disaster. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they did not have a revelation and an exposure of Satan. So everything happened, they thought it's God. But in the New Testament, Satan becomes exposed. The thief is caught. So in the Old Testament, imagine you're Job. Lightning came down. What do you interpret if you're a scientific man? Well, it's one of the natural disasters. It's one in a million chance, but it does happen. It was the millionth here. Then the Sabians came and destroyed everything. It's all natural disaster. But behind it, you can read in Job, it was the devil. Why? Who do you think was stirring up the storm when Jesus was out there? Satan, of course. Because Jesus said, "Peace, be still." The demons, my God. Now, the demons have a natural, but they cannot do that all the time. They seem to need an accumulation of activity and spiritual energy to cause interference in the natural. That is why once there's a natural disaster, there's a series of it. They seem to build it, they have to build up. I mean, they build, then they really move in, try to affect the natural world. And then they got to recharge their batteries or whatever it was. Now, let me mention a few things. Do you know that Satan and his fallen angels don't live on this earth? They live in the principalities. They live up in the what we call the atmospheric heaven. The sky above us. Proof, brother, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us there are wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Verse 12, chapter 6. It's not talking about down here, it's talking about heavenly places. You say, but how can heavenly places? Because there are three heavens. And the Bible uses the word sky and heaven interchangeably too. For us, we know the difference between the universe and the atmospheric sky, the stratosphere. Now there is a realm that they have a natural realm, they interpret in the natural, where when the rocket goes into space and the rocket comes into the atmosphere, there is a place where they call total blackout. There is no radio communication possible. When they pass through that level, everything blacks out. When they come in again, everything blacks out. Right? About the area is where their throne is. They don't like rockets going through them. Now, maybe all these human beings sending out all these missiles, you know. But of course, natural things don't disturb them. But just to make this point clear, that spiritual forces can affect microwaves, radio waves, TV waves, and what we call natural wavelengths. They can, but they need an accumulation of spiritual strategy and energy. In the positive side, we know that God's power can also have a side effect. That's why people fall under the power. That's why one time in Paul's King's meeting, you know, all the fuse blew. Don't let it happen tonight, Lord. Right? Because we need a microphone. And that can happen in the other extent. But here's the point that we need to realize. Every good thing that happened in your life, even though you didn't see the angel, you didn't meet the angel, you're not acquainted with visions, angels were involved. They are God's ministering spirits who minister to you. From the time you were born, you say, they were right there with you. Your guardian angel. I mean, without them, you'll be finished. All the good things. And we need to realize how much they have been working together with us. And so here is Ruth. And do you notice that everything that she picked up, gleaning from the floor, was because of what the workers dropped down? Because the angels were dropping it under the commandment of Boaz. Because under the commandment of God. In this story, it was Boaz. And the first encounter, it was very hard work. And that's the first stage that the church goes through in the preparation. A lot of hard work and very little rest. See, in verse, the servant said in verse 7, she came and has continued from morning until now. We presume that it's about in the afternoon. Though she rested a little in the house. That means it was very hard work picking up the gleanings. A little bit here, a little bit there, one about 3 meters away, going hard work under the hot sun. And she had a little rest. That is her first encounter with Boaz and Boaz's servant. That's the first stage of the preparation, my friend. The first stage of what God does in these last days. This roof is especially a prophetic area in the last days. Is hard work, a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, a lot of hard work in prayer, a lot of hard work in organization, a lot of discipline in study, and it's pumping away and preparing all those things, getting the gleanings. What do the gleanings represent? Revelational truths of God's Word. And you know how difficult it is to come into some of God's revelation? Some things take 3 years to soak into our life. I mean, I was in the third year of ministry before I discovered that prosperity belongs to me. Takes a long time. Then I found one gleaning, quickly grabbed hold of it. Here we are starving for truth. You know, looking. Then found another one. Sickness doesn't belong to me. Healing belongs to me. Grab one. Then you search again. Then you begin to say, hey, I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. How to be led by the Spirit is also my right and privilege. Then you begin to learn in that area. Get another gleaning here. Get another gleaning there. That's what that church is like. A gleaning here, a gleaning there. My friends, we have been gleaning for 1,900 years. And the truth comes so slowly. Imagine, Martin Luther died with one truth. Justified by faith. Thank you, Lord. I'm ready to go. Today, the average Sunday school kid, no. I'm justified by faith. The gleanings. These are the gleanings. The truths are coming. The restoration. See, all these are talking about the restoration of the church. Gleanings that come here and there together with the help of the angels. That is the first stage of the church. That was a long period. Then it reached a second encounter with Boaz. Second encounter with Boaz in verse 8. See, the first was with actually with Boaz's servant. Now in verse 8, Boaz now comes to Ruth and says, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Now, three things here. He says, listen. He says, look. And he says, drink. See, it's a powerful allegory. Almost like the life of Joseph that points to Jesus. Now, the second encounter. After you begin to discover the truths of God. You see, before you can really hear God and begin to hear Rhema, you must have Logos first. A lot of people want to hear Rhema, but they don't have Logos. They are not established in God's Word. And you know why they don't hear the Rhema? Because if ever they hear the Rhema, Satan will come with a counterfeit Rhema and they cannot distinguish. See, how can we hear God's voice when you don't know God's Word? A lot of people would love to hear Rhema, but not many people know the Bible like the back of their hand. In fact, some people don't even know the back of their hand. So, here is the Logos, and the first part is, you notice the first encounter with the servant of Boaz was the gleaning. That was Logos. The church establishing itself in the Logos, establishing itself in the Word. And that is when do you know that the printing press was invented not that long ago? A couple of 100 years ago, that's all. Not that long. Definitely not as long as 1,000 years. No, it was only a couple of 100 years ago. And immediately after that, the printing of the Bible was on. And this written word, a lot of us have 2-3 Bibles at home. Some of us have 20. Why? They are used to make our tables level. We don't read them at all. But this Bible is so precious to those people. Just several 100 years ago, just when printing was invented, to own one Bible was like to own Solomon's mines. That's so precious. It's written word. So the first encounter was the Logos. Now the second encounter that he draws closer, he begins to bring you from the lamb to the sheep. The lamb doesn't know how to hear. Jesus never said, my lambs hear my voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. So now he begins to talk about sheep. You will listen. And then you will see only that which is in this field. And then you will drink. That's the second stage the church begins to go through. By that second encounter, the church has come into the Holy Spirit. 1900 Azusa Street. We began to look into the realm of listening, seeing, and drinking. We began to talk about the Holy Spirit. And notice what happens to Ruth here. She bows down her face to the ground. I mean, she was really humble. That's like worship coming forth from her life. When the outpouring of the Spirit began all over again at the beginning of the 20th century. See, we are at the close of the 20th century. And you will notice new things began to come even at the close of this significant 20th century that we have been in. Both in the natural world, this 20th century has been significant in science and technology.